Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called How God Talks to You.
Now sometimes when you read the Bible and you go, I didn't get anything out of that today. You don't have to. You don't have to get something out of the Bible every time you read it. What you're doing is you're banking the truth in your mind. You're filling, because your mind's filled with everything else you've seen, every billboard, every commercial, every bad joke, every movie. It's all in there. You need to balance it with this, with the truth. And then the Holy Spirit can bring it to mind in your mind, and you're banking God's word. Now, He gives you impressions. Did you realize that every time you have a creative thought, that thought is from God? Who is the creator? God. And the Bible says you're most like God when you're creative. Why? Because God made you in His image. That's what makes you different from animals. Animals don't create. Animals don't create tools. Only human beings create tools. Why? We're made in God's image. And when you are being creative, you're creative in music, you're creative in art, you're creative in a business plan, you're creative with a meal, you're creative with a design. Guess what? God looks down and goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. You are using the ability God gave you. God made you in His image to be creative like the Creator. And so those creative ideas in art, in advertising, in every area actually come from God. And God goes, you're doing it. You're being like me. Now, I want to tell you, this thing about impressions from God, you don't just get impressions from God, you get impressions from all different kinds of things. So you have to be very careful. In fact, impressions can be so misused, so abused, and so misunderstood, I'm going to take the next two messages just to deal with this. And next week, we're going to talk about how do you receive an impression from God and go into the details of that. And then we're going to talk about the seven ways to test an impression, how to confirm if it's really God giving you that idea or if it's just, something else. But let me tell you, and we'll go into that in detail, there are two extremes to avoid. There's the rationalist who says, none of the ideas I get it from God. I don't even believe God can talk to me. And there's the mystic who says, every idea I get is from God. Well, both of them are wrong. I pity the rationalist because if you don't hear from God, you don't have much comfort in a time of trial or stress or tragedy. I have been at the funerals of people who don't believe in God. I have been at the graveside of people who don't know God, and it's pretty bleak because they have no hope. They have no comfort. They don't have God speaking directly to their heart, and I am sad for those people because they don't have anything to hold on to when the pressure's on. On the other hand, if you think every single idea you get is from God, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this, you become a mystic, you're going to make a lot of stupid, foolish mistakes, you're going to embarrass yourself, people are going to just think you're loony. What I am saying this, don't let fanatics keep you from experiencing the real thing. Don't be so afraid of going overboard that you don't open your mind to let God speak to your heart and to your mind. Job 33 says this, God speaks again and again, in dreams, in visions of the night, as they lie on their beds. He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their minds and keeping them from pride and from falling into some trap. God wants to keep you out of a lot of problems. Now, why does God speak to us as we're laying on our bed? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, when you're relaxed, you can hear better. You're less defensive. You're less distracted. You're more open to what God wants to say to you. And so when you're relaxed, that's the most likely time God's going to talk to you. If you've got the cell phone ringing and the radio on and the television blaring and the internet and all these things coming up in your mind, you can't hear God. You got too much noise. And so that's why often when you're just relaxing, you're sitting in your easy chair, you're laying on your bed, God, have you ever had a thought in the shower? Why? You're not doing much in the shower. Okay? It's a relaxing time. And so God can then talk to you. Now, one of the best ways to do this is ask God a specific question before you go to sleep. You can do this. Ask God a specific question. I do it all the time. I'll say, you know, God, I know you're going to have me talk to this person tomorrow morning. So what do you want to say to them? And I'll ask that question, and I'll go to sleep. I couldn't count the number of times that I've awakened in the morning, and the answer is there the first thing when I get up. Why? I'm relaxed, and He can speak to my heart. I couldn't tell you the number of times that I've gone to sleep saying, God, what do you want to say to the people on the weekend? And I didn't know. And I go to sleep, and I wake up the next morning, and the idea is there. It's there. And so just let God speak to you. Now, let me just warn you. Most of your dreams, they're wacko. Okay. They have no spiritual significance at all. If you know anything about REM sleep, you know it's just your brain reorganizing all the information, and this goes here, and this goes here, and this goes here. And it's very easy for your brain to take in a scene from a movie, and a scene from a book, and a scene from something here and there, and you heard it, and you don't even know it when, and put it all together. Anybody want to give a testimony of a goofy dream right now? So we've all had wacko, you know, dreams. Definitely unreliable. That's why you have to test and confirm impressions. But on the other hand, don't be afraid of this. Many of the major decisions in my life, God gave me an impression, and then I confirmed it. I just didn't act on the impression. I confirmed it, and then I acted on it. One day, many years ago, as a young man, it's about 30 years ago, I was in a church, a little church in Fresno, California. I was sitting on the stage, minding my own business. I looked over here, and there was a cute little girl playing the piano over here. And I looked over there, and an impression popped into my mind from God. God said, "You're going to marry Kay Lewis." Now, I immediately doubted that impression for three very good reasons. Number one, God had never, ever spoken to me that clearly in my life. I mean, just never in my life had He ever been that clear. Okay, so I immediately doubted it. Number two, I wasn't in love with her. I had no feelings for her, and she certainly wasn't in love with me. And, you know, so, I mean, I knew who she was, but I wasn't in love. Number three, she was madly in love with my best friend. Would that give you pause to question the impression? Well, I did. And so I said nothing about it. In fact, I never even told Kay about it until after we were married, because I'd never use an impression to manipulate anybody. You just don't do that. So I just filed it away, and I made no attempt to break up their relationship. I just filed it away. That was in the summertime. A few months later, we went to college, and we actually happened to that year go to the same college. We did not go to the same college all of our college career, but that year we were in the same college. And one morning, I was out praying early in the morning with my prayer partner. It was about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and we were out at a baseball dugout out on the field, and we were praying, and all of a sudden, Danny stops in the middle of his prayer, and he says, "Now, Rick, you may think this is kind of weird, but," he said, "I have this impression that you're going to marry Kay Lewis." I said, "Oh, don't worry about that. God told me 4 months ago." And again, I made no attempt to date her or anything. I just filed it away. A little while after that, my best friend broke up with Kay, started dating another girl, actually got engaged to that girl, and later married that girl. Enter the hero. Knight in shining armor. Dun, da, da, da! But I still didn't have these feelings for her. I just didn't have the feelings. Well, you know, one day I'm walking down the corridor at college, and I see her coming the other day, and the feelings hit. It's like Cupid pulled out a little arrow and goes, bling! Man, the scales fell off my eyes. I was instantly in love. I was like a tick on a dog after that. Man, there was no way she was getting rid of me after that, man. I took her out on our first date, and 8 days later, we were engaged. I don't tell that story to my kids. For obvious reasons. It violates every principle I believe in. And you know what? Right after that, after we got engaged, I moved to Nagasaki, Japan as a missionary, and she moved to inner city Birmingham, Alabama as a missionary, and we spent our entire engagement apart from each other. So when we got married, we really didn't know each other. We were in love. We felt God put us together. We didn't know each other. Said, what planet are you from? And I, you know, Kay and I, we've now been married 28 years. We wondered for a long time, why would God use such a strange thing to get us together? But finally we realized it's because of our differences. We would have never gotten together any other way. Kay and I are the exact opposite in every cell of our DNA. I mean, I say hi, she says hello, she says why, I say I don't know, I say hello, she says goodbye. They wrote that song about us. I mean, we are totally opposite. And if we had had the normal dating relationship, we would have argued so much we would have never gotten together. Never. Instead, we got married and then we argued for years. But we had made this commitment. Divorce is not an option for us. We locked the key and threw it away and locked the hatch. And so we had to work it out. There would be no way. I mean, any eHarmony survey would have proven that these two people are not going to make it. They are so opposite of each other, and the sparks are going to fly. And boy, they did in the early years. But God knew the two people that he needed with the right talent and abilities and passions to form Saddleback. And that's the way he got us together. You know, I'm glad I listened to the Holy Spirit's impression. Because today, she's my best friend. She's my lover, my girlfriend, my wife, my confidant, my counselor, the person who has more ability than anybody else to say, Rick, you're blowing it, and on and on. But you confirm those kind of things. Here's the warning. You always have to test and confirm impressions. Does the impression agree with the Bible? Does it agree with godly friends? Does it agree with the church? And on and on and on. Because God will never contradict what he said in his word. But he does speak through impressions. Pastor Tom is going to come and teach.
There's a fifth way that God speaks. I don't like this one, but I know it's true. Number five, God speaks through pain. God speaks through pain. Any of you familiar with this one know what I'm talking about? God loves us so much, he will resort even to pain to speak to us. This sometimes pain is the only way that God can get your attention in a circumstance. Now, I'm not saying that all the pain in our lives is God trying to speak to us. Does everybody understand that? That is not what I'm saying. But I do know that some of the painful circumstances I face, God speaks to me through those circumstances. I think we've all seen that happen in our lives. God uses pain when he can't get us to slow down and listen. And just standing here for a few moments thinking about how God has used pain in my life to speak to me, I'm just flooded with thoughts. I can think of a time when God used a financial pain to get me to move from here to there. I would have stayed here except for the financial pain got me where he wanted me to be. I can think of a time when he used a relationship pain to get me to wake up to the fact that people are a lot more important than tasks. I can think of a time when God used a physical pain, a health pain, to say, no, I don't want you on that project. I want you working on that project. I would have never thought that except God used that pain to get my attention, to get me to hear that. It's a verse about this in the Bible, over in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. This is a painful verse. I don't want to be in this alone. Would you read this verse with me? Let's read it together. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. We know that's true. We've all seen the truth of that verse in our lives. We change when we get desperate. It's when we hit the bottom often that we look up. Some of you right now, you hit the bottom this week. And God has brought you here this morning to say to you, look up. Look up. Through that painful circumstance that you're faced this week, God wants to let you know that he loves you more than you could imagine. The Bible says over in Psalm 119, verse 71, the suffering you sent was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your principles. Pain is often like a spiritual hearing aid in our lives. C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. And God may be shouting to you right now. It might be his big, hello, The pain is saying, watch out, you keep going that direction, your life is going to get destroyed. Or the pain might be saying, I love you, I have a different plan for your life. God speaks to us through our pain. I want you to listen to the story of how God spoke to Deirdre through her pain. Would you give her a warm welcome?
From the time I was young, I've always been active in sports. During the many years of being on different sports teams, I often injured my ankle, but I thought nothing of it. Little did I know that each time I injured it, I was going down a path of chronic pain for my life. In 1988, I injured my ankle stepping off of a curb. As usual, I waited for it to get better, but this time it did not. My future husband and I sought out doctors, and I had learned I had severely torn ligaments and many bone fragments floating in my foot. That began a painful 10-year journey. One simple surgery turned into 11 different surgeries, and also at the same time, it triggered a very rare disease in my central nervous system. During those 10 years, I was only able to get around by the use of wheelchairs and crutches. I call that 10-year phase a journey because it was through that process that God began speaking to me through my pain and moved me from the place of resentment and anger to a place of acceptance, surrender, and peace. What began as a simple foot injury turned into a long, painful nightmare. In addition to the 11 surgeries, I had to have repeated shots to my spine. Living in chronic pain year after year took its toll on me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I could barely handle life in general. It was all I could do to sit at home day after day in pain with my foot in the air, either healing from my latest surgery or soaking it 5 times a day in freezing cold water or preparing for the next shot to my spine to hopefully control the crippling effects that my disease was carrying out throughout my whole body. I was very frustrated and confused. I knew that being a Christian did not make me immune from problems and pain, but that wasn't any comfort when I was hurting so much. I'd cry out to God and take pillows and pound them on the couch out of frustration and anger. It just wasn't fair. I had not been irresponsible. I would say to God, "Don't you see what is happening to me? Don't you care? Do you really expect me to live in chronic pain the rest of my life in a wheelchair? I will not accept that." So I struggled and struggled to control every facet of my healing. But every surgery seemed to worsen my condition, and my pain level got greater too. Every time, I would have high hopes that the next surgery would work, but my hopes would be dashed, and I'd end up in greater pain. Then one day, which I remember as though it was even yesterday, I was sitting in my living room, utterly exhausted and sobbing. I knew I couldn't live like this anymore. God gently spoke to my mind, and I realized that I had a bigger problem than my physical pain. My heart needed healing too. I needed to come to the point of acceptance and trusting God. That meant I had to be willing to accept the possibility of never being healed. I needed to let go and completely trust God no matter what the outcome was. So with tears in my eyes, I looked up to God and I said, "It's okay. It's okay if I live in chronic pain and live in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. It's okay if my life is different than my hopes and dreams that I had planned for. I can accept this as long as I know you are there." That was my prayer of surrender, and it was a turning point of my life. I was going to trust God and accept his plan no matter what happened, because I knew he loved me. I never dreamed when I said that prayer that my situation would ever change. In fact, I had really no hope of ever getting better. I just knew that I needed to trust God in the midst of my pain. But then within the next few months, I noticed that my foot actually started to improve. I had another surgery, and I healed faster and with fewer complications. It wasn't overnight, but little by little, I started improving. However, this time I was not apprehensive. I was finally at peace whether I got healed or not. And believe me, that peace was worth more than healing my foot 1,000 times over. Today, looking at me, you'd never know what I've been through. No, I will never jog again or be active in sports, but I'm so thankful just to be able to walk. I feel pain whenever I walk still, but God gives me the grace to live through it. Looking back, it's not a path that I would have chosen for myself. However, I have learned that God had a much better plan than mine. At first, I felt that I had lost 10 years of my life. But now I can see the spiritual depth that I gained through those years in learning to listen to God. I gained an inner peace and joy in spite of my circumstances. I grew in perseverance and discipline, and I learned to trust God more. I've now graduated from seminary with my Master's of Divinity, but Pastor Rick says I got a Master's in Maturity from the last 10 years, and now I serve on our church staff with the Spiritual Maturity Team, helping others to grow. If you are struggling with a painful situation and can't figure out why it is happening, I urge you, tune in and listen to what God might be saying to you. He will speak comfort to your mind if you will let him. Do whatever you can to change your situation, but accept that God has a good plan for you no matter what happens. Learn to say, "It's okay, God," and listen to him. That's where the peace of surrender happens. Thank you.
Now, I don't know what kind of pain you're going through, but if you'll listen quietly, God will teach you some things. You'll learn some things, and God will speak to you. Okay, God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through gifted teachers. God speaks through godly friends and family. God speaks through impressions. He speaks through pain. And number six, God speaks through silence. Through silence. Sometimes God speaks by saying nothing. Sometimes God speaks by remaining quiet. Now, this is extremely frustrating to us, but God has his reasons when he's quiet and silent. And you'd better just wait and trust him. If you run ahead of God, if you go ahead and say, "Well, I haven't heard anything from God, so I'm just going to go ahead and do this." And if you don't trust God, you'll get yourself into a lot of trouble. When you run ahead of God, you're going to regret it. You're going to have all kinds of problems. There's so many examples of this in the Bible. One of them was the guy named Saul, King Saul. And he was the first king of Israel, and he was getting ready to go to battle, but he hadn't really been right with God. And so then he comes to God and says, "God, what do you want me to do in this battle?" When he hadn't even been talking to God in a long time. Been doing the wrong things. And the Bible says God was silent. He wasn't ready to say. And notice what it says in 1 Samuel 26. Saul prayed to God, but God didn't answer, neither by dream, nor by sign, nor by prophet. In other words, there are three different ways that Saul tried to find out an answer, and he didn't get it. And so you know what happened? He got impatient. And when you do that, you're always headed for trouble. He got desperate, and he turned to the occult. Something he had outlawed in the country. He said, "Go find me a spiritual advisor. Go find me a medium, a psychic, a witch. Go find me somebody who can talk to the dead. Go find me some person who can conjure up spirits or do a seance." He knew it was wrong, and he did it anyway because he got desperate. And do you know what happened? He lost everything. He lost the battle. He lost his reputation. He lost his life. This is not innocent stuff. I remember years ago in this very church, a young woman who was frantic about trying to figure out the name of who she was supposed to marry. And she prayed, and God didn't write the guy's name on a card. He rarely does, because there might be a half a dozen people that are all okay for you to marry in God's will. There is no one single right person. And she got very desperate. So she got involved in occult, in tarot cards, in horoscopes and astrology, and it really messed her up. Now listen, if you are looking to anything else besides God for guidance, you are on thin ice. If you are looking to anything else in your life to guide you about the future, except God, you have an idol and it is wrong. And you should run from it as fast as you can. This is not innocent stuff. Now, let me tell you why. First place, it's a total waste of money. Nobody knows the future. Nobody. Anybody who tells you they're knowing the future is flat out lying, because only God knows the future. Nobody knows the future. And the future is not in the stars. It's in the Son of God. And it's all a lie. And if you do it, it's a sin and you will be judged for it, and it is of the devil and you could lose your soul. You run from it as fast as you can. So what do you do when God is silent? What do? You do two things, and we have these two verses. First, Job 34. If God is silent, what is that to you? Since he turns his face away, what can you do about it? But whether silent or hidden, he's there ruling. Here's the first thing you do. Remember, God is in control. He's there ruling. God may not share his plan with you, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan. Oh, he's got one. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He loves you. He's a good God, and he'll take care of you if you will just wait on him. He is in charge, and you're not. Number two, you trust him. Psalm 50, verse 14. I want you to trust me in your time of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. You know, I think God is asking that question of you today. God is asking you, will you trust me? Will you trust me with that financial problem? Will you trust me with that dream? Will you trust me with that ache in your heart? Will you trust me with that stress? Will you trust me with that loneliness? Will you trust me with that desire to get married? Will you trust me with that health issue? Will you trust me with your dreams and ambitions? Will you trust me? That's the big issue of life. Will you trust God? Let's bow our heads. Now, God wants to talk to you through the Bible, through gifted teachers, through godly friends and family, through impressions, through pain, even silence. Why does God go to all this trouble? Because he loves you. He loves you so much, and he wants a relationship with you. Now, you can't hear God until you know God. And if you'd like to get to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ, follow along in your mind as I pray this prayer. And you can just whisper it if you want to. Dear God, I don't want to go through life without hearing from you. So I want to learn to listen. Thank you for the Bible. Help me to read it. Your word. Thank you for gifted teachers. Help me to act on what they teach. Help me to make some godly friends that I can trust and listen to. I want to be open to the ideas that you place in my mind. And when I'm in pain, help me to learn from it, not run from it. Most of all, help me to trust you and your plan when you're silent. Jesus Christ, I want to get to know you and love you like you love me. In your name I pray. Amen.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Hey, have you ever wished that you could hear from God? I mean, really hear his voice when you're facing a big decision, struggling with pain, or just feeling lost? Well, here's the amazing truth. The creator of the universe wants to be your friend. And that's not just in theory, but in a real daily relationship. And how does that friendship grow? Through conversation. The good news is, God is already speaking. The question is, are you tuned in? In this powerful new Bible study from Pastor Rick's Hearing the Voice of God series, you'll discover how to recognize when God's speaking, how to hear him with greater clarity, and how to turn your prayers from a monologue into a life-changing dialogue. This four-week study is full of practical teaching, guided prayers, thought-provoking questions, and simple tools to help you connect with God in a deeper, more personal way. Plus, it's perfect for individual or small group study. So don't miss out on what God wants to say to you. Request your copy of Hearing the Voice of God today. It's our gift to you when you support Daily Hope and help share the gospel with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. And again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.